that you're here this Sunday morning. And isn't it lovely outside? So thankful. Yes. Let's go ahead and pray. We'll start the Sunday school today.
Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we give you praise, Lord. We give you glory, for you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are our good shepherd. We love you. And just speak to each heart today, each mind, each life, Lord. We just thank you for your word and give you praise and glory in Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Glorify you, Lord.
Praise God. We are doing our series, continuing with the God of Deliverance today, and the title is The Ten Commandments. But I want to really focus on the God of Deliverance in all of this. So through this series, through the fall, we're going to go through the God of Deliverance for a few Sunday school lessons, and then into Jesus is Lord, and then last for the fall, Choosing Wisdom. So praise God for that. I have this story I shared last week at Heritage Place. It's a devotional in one of the devotional books that we share at the hospital. And they're just so good. They give a scripture verse. They give a little bit of history story of it, whether a person or a person's job or what they did and how they had something come against them and how they overcame it with God's help, and then another scripture just to solidify it. And it's just so empowerful. It's powering, it's uplifting, and I've been uplifted. This story really struck a chord in my heart, and it was starting with just a scripture verse in Psalms saying that my whole being longs for you in Psalm 63:1. God, my whole being longs for you. And the devotional was about a dog. It was about Bobby, the wonder dog. And this is a true story of this collie mix dog. He was born in 1921 in Silverton, Oregon. And he was on a vacation with his family in the city of Walcott, Indiana. So he's from Oregon. And so he was on vacation with his family. They were separated when they were in Indiana. The family could not find him. So after looking and searching, they could not find him. They left back home because they thought, he's gone. We can't find him. He's maybe eaten by an animal. He's gone. He's gone. So they went home. The story, is so amazing because 6 months later, folks, this dog turned up at the end of winter. He was scraggy. He was just a mess. But he had been determined, and he traveled, they say, approximately 2,500 miles. You think of the tenacity and the determination of a dog. I'm not going back. I'm going to find my family. I'm going home. And you know what? I thought of that determination for us. Lord, my soul longs for you. I want to be with you. I want to have that determination, not Bobby the dog's determination, but a human determination that says, Lord, I want to be with you. I want my life to be with you. And that's so amazing, this story. Just tugged at my heart, and I was thinking, man, the dog didn't live very long. In Wikipedia, it says he passed in 1927, so from 21 to 27, they had this fabulous Scottish collie, and he lived in the city of Silverton, Oregon. Some of you know the story or the place, and you've seen probably movies or read books about dogs that find their way home. And I never knew it was based on anything real, but praise God. Praise God. Today we're talking about how God is a God of deliverance. And we're going to get into the Ten Commandments, but we celebrate Jesus Christ because he is the one who ultimately delivered each one of us, right? And we're here because of that. And we have this connection, each one of us, this thread of the blood of Jesus through each one of us here today. And it's a glorious thing. It's beautiful. I love in our Bible reading, praise God for all of us that are reading and going to just finish through the year, having read the entire Bible through as a church together And I think that's just such a growth for all of us. We read the stories of deliverance in the Bible, and they inspire us. They encourage us. They give us hope. Think, man, if he or she could do that, and they're trusting in God, and they don't have what I have today to live for God and trust in God, I could surely do that. I can do it. And I was thinking back of, you know what, the amazing thing is not that he delivers us, but how he chooses to deliver us is always so amazing and beautiful and sometimes miraculous. And in the stories, I just want to just do this little Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel, you know what? How would that moment have felt for Daniel being put into that den, thinking, okay, they haven't ate, the lions haven't ate, they're hungry. But how prophetic were the words of the king as he was put into the den? He said, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. How prophetic was that? And the Bible shares how God rescues and delivers. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and in the earth. And as he rescued Daniel from the power of those lions, God is able to deliver us. You may be going through something right now. God is able to deliver you. And the Word of God shows it over and over again. Remember, and we just kind of finished reading the book of Jonah. Remember Jonah? Jonah, he ran from what God had told him to do, and God chose a fish to swallow him up for 3 days. And talk about an amazing deliverance for him, because I don't think in Jonah's wildest dreams that he could have ever thought that his deliverance would come this way. Right? Think about it. When you are reading that portion of scripture, he said the seaweed was tangled around his head and his neck. It was just, it was a mess. He was wet, cold, smelly, all those things. But Jonah had nothing now to do in the fish in his belly, except what we do in our darkest night is cry out to God for his mercy and for his deliverance. And that's what he did. He couldn't run anymore. He couldn't hide, because God put him in a very specific location, right? Sometimes that God does that for us too, doesn't he? We can't run anymore. We can't hide from whatever it is. And God's like, you need to take care of this. And here we are. God, he is the God of deliverance. But after those 3 days and that fish vomited up Jonah onto dry ground, which I always thought was amazing, because he could have vomited him up in the middle of the ocean, right? And he could have died of whatever out there. But he was spit up on dry land. Praise God. And when God called him once more to go to Nineveh, go, guess what? The decision had been made for him in the belly of that fish. He made that decision. God, you saved me from this. Hey, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do, Lord. He rescued him. He is a God of deliverance. And then, you know how we thread together illustrations. I thought of Rahab living in a house on the wall of Jericho. She lived in a time that was really changing, and there was an invasion coming. And she and her family had heard the stories of the Israelites and the nation of Israel, the stories of God's deliverance, his miracles, his signs and wonders. And they probably thought, wow, this is a God they serve. Wow. And she helped those two Israelites during that battle. And the order was given to destroy everything and everybody except where that red cord hung down the wall of Jericho. And that was where she had hung that red cord out. And she and her family were saved. And then she made her home in the nation of Israel. Their God was now her God. And she was going to serve that God, the one that was able to deliver and keep her family safe. Praise God. I want to serve the God who's able to deliver and keep and save. He's not only able to save me, but he's able to save my family, my friends, our church family. Praise God. He's just a great God. And today we look at the Ten Commandments as something that is able to rescue us and redeem us. And it's a blessing that we have from God on this journey in our life. So we're going to read in the focus verse, Romans 16:26. Thank you, Aaron. Romans 16:26 says, "But now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith." And I looked it up in a few other translations. I like the Amplified. It reads, "But now has been disclosed, and through the prophetic scriptures has made known to all the nations according to the commandment of the eternal God, leading them to obedience to the faith." Praise God. So what are these Ten Commandments? And some of us may remember them, and we may remember a few of them. We're going to turn to Exodus chapter 20 today, and we're going to start in verse 1. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. "And God spake these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that it is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, not thy stranger that is within thy gate. For in the 6 days the Lord made the earth, the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that in them is. Then rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." Wow. After Moses delivered the Ten Commandments, the next few passages of Scripture gives an account where Moses saw the people, and the people saw. They saw thunder, they saw lightning, and they heard the sound of a trumpet, and the mountain was smoking. They were afraid, obviously. There was a physical manifestation upon the earth and in the heavens when this happened, when this came to us from Moses. And Moses told the people, "Fear not, for God has come to prove you that this fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not." So in the context of the Ten Commandments is basically we get this whole Exodus story, God rescuing the Hebrews from slavery to be an example of right living. God would not have them treating each other the way the Egyptian slave masters had treated them. And these were rules just to live by, to live by. And basically when you're in Sunday school, you get the short version of Exodus, what we just read, you know. Don't have any other gods before me. Don't make any graven images. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day. And we learn these. How do people feel about these Ten Commandments today? Well, as Christians, we have a very clear point of view about the Ten Commandments. And they're not there to make us feel guilty. They're there to fulfill the meaning of God delivering us with this great protection. He's given us something for our protection. There are polls, American polls, where we have surveys, and they found that Americans ages 18 to 29 are less likely than older adults to say that each of the commandments are still important today, including stealing, murdering, and lying. This same study showed that more than 90% of Americans agree that the commandments regarding murder, stealing, and lying remain still a fundamental part of our societal behavior. Praise God for that, that 90% of them are thinking that. And as Christians, we have the promise, thank God, of His protection when we follow the examples in Scripture. Think about how God loves us to give us such safeguards. He really loves us, and He wants us to live well and do well and be well. He tells us that we're to love the Lord thy God in Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. Says, love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. He says that this is the first and great commandment. This is Jesus in the New Testament. And the second commandment is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So as a phrase, we've seen it on plaques. We've seen it on cute poem sayings. We've read it. To the world, you may only be one person, but to one person, you may be the world. You are Jesus Christ to this world because you are filled with His Spirit and His power and His anointing and His blessing. You are the representation of Jesus Christ to every person you meet. And God has put people in your life that Pastor Glover will never meet, that brother, you will never meet, but say, Sister Via, you're the one that's going to meet those people. And each one, Sister Nichols, you're going to meet people that I will never meet. And each one of us has such a great responsibility because we have been given so much, so much. We want to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ, you know, and be that heartbeat, that love of Jesus Christ. You know, we can be many things, but we want to have eyes that are not judging others, but look beyond what you see with your eyes. A mouth that is not critical, but speaks love and truth. And hands not to punish others, but give a helping hand. And ears not to be insensitive, but listen empathetically to those that are hurting and in pain that need help, because you're going to get a little cue there, and that moment will come when you're able to share something fabulous from God's word with them. Praise God. And I pray that for SPC. I pray that for you, that you have that opportunity, and God blesses you. And when that moment comes, you feel His anointing on you, and the words that you say, it's amazing. You don't even have to think about them. They just come, and it's anointed and powerful, and God uses you. Praise God. You are reflecting Jesus Christ. Praise God, you are. Remember Deuteronomy 6 and 5 told us to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk on the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Put them as symbols on your hands and bind them upon your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. And that love is such a beautiful theme from the very beginning of God's word all the way through His word. Just that underlying theme of God's love for us, His redeeming quality that He wants so much for each one of us. His word says that love is patient, love is kind, It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. 1 Corinthians 13, we find that. And love. Love means taking action. It means blessing others, blessing those in your family with love. Sometimes it has to be intentional and you have to really think about it. But blessing those with love, blessing your friends with love, strangers. How do I do that? Strangers. You know, sometimes church, sometimes we can easily love a stranger. But when a brother or sister offends us, help us to love them. Help us to love them. If we can love the cashier at Safeway Cars, but we can't love our brother or our sister, we need to pray and get right with God. Amen. Those who we're in contact with every day, the ones we don't even realize that we're in contact with, the ones that are watching us, who we don't even know are watching our lives. It's amazing. It's just amazing. We need to treat others better than they deserve, because isn't that how God treated us? Better than we ever deserved. Better. Let's treat them better. Isn't that how Jesus treats each one of us? Better than we deserve. And is it your desire to treat others better? Amen. I want to treat my brother, love my brother, my sister. There, the Bible says, therefore, encourage one another. Jesus said, whatsoever ye do to the least of our neighbors, we do to him. Serving others is serving him. Luke writes, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. In our connection today, beautiful story of the missionary who was asked this question. Have you ever feared for your safety to the point where you would have rather stayed in the westernized world for the conveniences of family and medicine, etc.? And he said this. It was very profound. He said, one thing I have discovered is that you're always safer in the will of God than anywhere else. When you follow God's will and his commandments, there is nowhere else that could possibly be safer. Yes, we could have pastored, he said, in the westernized country, in a safe suburb. That would not have been God's will, but we would have been in more spiritual, he said, and physical danger there, because we were outside of God's plan for our lives. So he said, when you're in God's will and following his commandments, it doesn't matter if you're in the most remote island or even a war-torn, we have war-torn countries right now, or in an oppressed country, you will always be safer in the will of God than anywhere else in the world. Praise God. And he goes on to say this, and I just thought just his heartbeat was just so beautiful. He talked about the connection between that loving God and loving others. He said, when we sit down around a fire to visit friends and we eat a new unique food, isn't it interesting that we have unique foods in Alaska? When they eat a unique food that they never had before, he said, we are loving God and we are loving our neighbors. When we visit the marketplace and we visit homes and local fellowship, we are loving God and we are loving our neighbor. When we visit the local hospital for our saints' children or family members, we are loving God and we are loving our neighbors. When we spend time on the Sabbath day, relaxing and resting and just edifying our brothers and sisters, we are loving God and loving our neighbors. The couple worked in the mission field, they realized how these two commandments, love God and love your neighbor, could not be separated. Praise God. We love God by loving our neighbors. Praise God. And I thought, man, isn't that what scripture says? Because he first loved us. If anyone says, love God, he loves God, but hates his brother, The Bible says he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen with his own two eyes, how can he love God, who he has not seen? Oh, God, give us something powerful in the Word of God just to quicken our hearts. I always thought a good spiritual indicator, I put down on this in my notes months ago. I was driving, and it was like, when I get something, I just put it in my notes. And I put it in my notes, and I was like, oh, I'm bringing it in today. A good spiritual indicator of how you are doing is how well you treat others. Amen. How do you treat your brothers and sisters? How do you treat your family? Those that you are closest to. I feel like I'm closest to you and my family. How do I treat you? How do we love? How does that love look like? What does it look like in our lives? And then how do we forgive? How do we forgive each other? And how do we encourage one another? Right? Think back to when you first heard the Ten Commandments, and that's probably so long ago, I couldn't even remember what I felt like when I heard them all. If one of them stood out more than another one, I couldn't remember when I first heard them. But I do remember listening to years ago the preached word, and the title was this, The Commandment with Promise. And he said, there's only one commandment that has a promise attached to it. And I was like, yes, Lord. What is it? I want to hear it. I was so interested. I was just waiting to hear what it was because I had heard the commandments, you know, but when you're in Sunday school, we kind of abbreviate them, you know, just really short, short, short. We are commanded to commandment number 5, to love and honor our parents. And with that, we will have long life. The Bible says we will have long life. Praise God. And I was like, wow. And the whole message was on this and honoring. What does honor mean? What does that mean? What does it look like? And it was just so intriguing to me. Those things really intrigue me. I like this. We are commanded to love God. No, love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. What about this love? The Hebrew word for love means to have. It's an affection, a desire, a delight in, an ardent inclination of the mind and tenderness of affection. And the Greek word for love means to have a preference for, to wish well, regard, the regard of the welfare of, to take pleasure in, to be, I love this, prized above other things. And unwilling to abandon or do without. I want to be unwilling to abandon my God and do without him. I want him every day because every day we live and breathe, we're not promised tonight and we're not promised tomorrow. And I don't want to live with regrets. And when you are in a situation in your life and you come to, like this is like a life-threatening illness, or this could take my life, nothing in the world matters except that, taking care of it, getting better, doing whatever you can. If it means sacrificing food or travel or sleep or whatever it is, you'll do whatever it costs. If we could get that in our hearts, that every day that's that longing for God, Lord, let that be a longing in our heart every day. I just want to be with you. I want to commune with you. I want to be in right relationship with you and my brothers and sisters. Praise God. Loving is, you know, it's so diminished when you think of the word love, when we think of it as an emotion or a feeling, because, hey, we're human. Emotions and feelings rise and fall. They come and go. But the Bible says loving God in the context of command, what it does is it becomes this galvanizing force or strength for not only how we feel about God in our heart, but it inspires our thoughts about him and our minds. And what it does is it stimulates our desire for him and our souls, that part that you and I can't see, but God can see, that's our soul. this loving God is so powerful in our lives. It's powerful in our families. It's powerful in our church. It's so empowering, praise God. And God wants this love for him. He wants it to be exclusive or inclusive, if you would. No one, the Bible says in Matthew 6:24, can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. And it says you cannot serve God and mammon or wealth. Loving God, it surpasses all. It surpasses all. In Matthew 10:37, and I thought of this when I first came to the Lord. I thought of this scripture. But wow. He who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who dies not take his, he who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. And he who has found his life will lose it. And he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. I thought, man, this loving God is just, it's just so huge. And God wants us to do it with an obedient heart. We're not made to love him. We're not forced to love him. There's no gavel on, you know. The scripture says, he who has my commandments and keeps them is one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Praise God. It's a pursuing love. In James 1:12, it says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. This could be any one of us right now, folks. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Oh, I want to love him just so much more. 1 Peter 1 and verse 6, it says, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but you believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Praise God. That's what this journey's all about. We want to be saved, and we want others to be saved, because there is going to be a meeting in the air in the sweet, sweet by and by. That day is coming, folks. It's coming. We love God with all of our hearts. We love him. We don't want any other gods of this world, false small g gods, before us in any way. We want the loving God with our souls. You know, so I would say to ask today, you know, I would ask you as a friend, how are you loving God today? You know, we say, how are you doing? How are you loving God today? How is it going for you? How are you in the journey? How are you doing? Psalms 5:11 says, but let all of you who take refuge be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. Praise God. Oh, beautiful. Psalms 57:1, this powerful prayer and pledge from King David as he was fleeing Saul. He says, have mercy on me, O God. Have mercy on me. For in you, God, I take refuge. I will take refuge in you, in the shadow of your wings, until the disaster has passed. When that disaster strikes, do we cry out to God the same way David did? Lord, have mercy upon me. For in you I take refuge, and I will trust in you under the shadow of your wing and your protection, your deliverance, Lord, until the disaster has passed. That's what I'm going to do. We're told, Scripture, Lord, and that to love God, love our neighbor. I thought of that song, and I'm not going to sing it, but because I don't have time. You're my brother, you're my sister, so take me by the hand. Together we will work until he comes. There's no foe that can defeat us as we're walking hand in hand. As long as there is love, we will stand. Praise God. You are my brother and sister, and we're in this journey together. We strengthen each other, we uplift each other, we encourage each other. Praise God. And I've learned that there are people that will hurt you. Even when you're in church, you'll get hurt. And there's no use fueling some kind of revenge plot in your brain, oh God help us, or harboring bad feelings, because what that does is it poisons your spirit. It poisons you. You turn ugly. You're nasty. When you are poisoned by that thought in your brain, you are no longer a beautiful, radiant reflection of Jesus Christ. Sorry, but it's true. You just become bitter and ugly. And you know what? It's really hard to love God with a clean heart when you have ill wishes in your heart for somebody else, right? This is just basic Christian living. You know what I do? I pray for them. I pray for myself. I give them to God. I trust God that through his spirit, he can speak and do things in prayer, in a moment, twinkling of an eye, basically, that we could never dream of, we could never hope for, because God will do it in prayer when we commune with him. And you think, oh, they're the same. They may be the same, but guess what? You may be different, so different in your spirit that it doesn't affect you the way it did before. And you don't become bitter and sad and mad. You have the joy of the Lord. You're happy when you talk to people. And that's the thing about talking to people. You don't have to talk to anyone for very long to kind of see where they're at. Because they tell you. And it just reveals, you know, out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart, you know, speaks. Abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Be kind to people. You know what? We talk about loving people. Let's be kind to people. 2 Corinthians 6:3 says, we put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every word, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses, in unity, understanding, patience, and kindness. Praise God. How do you respond to people who treat you unkind? And that can be someone in the church, folks. More often, what is it, church pain is the worst pain or something? Yeah, something I've heard that. Are we Christ-like? Are we prayerful about it? How do we respond? The scripture says in Ecclesiastes 4, this is Solomon, the wisest man, said four in Ecclesiastes chapter 4:9, he says, two are better than one because they have good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. There are so many things in the Word of God. It tells us that our brothers do to support us and help us. And you know what? Such a source of great strength. And even when we come to the house of God and we worship together, there's something so special in being together in God's presence when he just meets us here. It's beautiful. I thank God for his love towards us, that spiritual protection that we have through his law, the word. And when we obey his word, and I thought of that, I'm going to go back to that fifth commandment again, to honor your parents and have long life. I remember years ago, my mom, one of the things, she ultimately ended up dying from lung cancer from smoking 2 packs of cigarettes a day for her life. And she started, she said, because her parents had said, don't do this thing. It's really bad for you. And she disregarded and disobediently started smoking it like a young teenage girl. And I thought, wow. And then she told me the other story of how her parents had met her future husband. And they said, no, he's not the one. Don't, this is not a good situation. And she said she just didn't care. And she said, I'm just going to marry him anyway. And it ended up being a life of, he was an alcoholic. He abused her, abused the family. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm not saying, and she did die at 58. And I'm thinking, wow, you know what? All of these things play together in our lives. And so many times we can put the word of God to use in our lives individually, but we will never see the full result until we reach the other side, because God protects us and delivers us from things that we would never have known were in our path. We think, oh, we made this decision. You know, we got up this morning, Lord, your will be done. And we go through the day and we miss traffic accidents. We miss certain things that come because we are putting our lives, loving you first, God, and then putting our lives in his hand. He takes us to places and keeps us through things that we would never have ever known about. And we should, and we can give God praise for that. I'm so thankful. Praise God for that. God is good. We talk about love, and I know the scripture tells us what love is so well, and this is what God is. And I use it a lot, but I just think of how he is and how he wants us to be. It says, Bible tells us that love suffers long and is kind. It does not envy. It does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It doesn't behave rudely. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity or sin, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and love never fails. And that's our God. He's amazing. I want to be more like him every day. Church, I love you today. God bless you, and greet all of our visitors today. And let's celebrate Jesus Christ today. God bless you.